Hatch, I have tried to explain the whole Eyes of Texas story, but you're there. So give everybody the cliff notes about the controversy regarding a song.
The cliff notes is I personally have known for years that a lot of players, mostly black, didn't seem thrilled with the Eyes of Texas. They often were kind of haphazard and putting their hands in the air, or just didn't at all. And you could watch the basketball team specifically. They always looked like it was pulling teeth. But I never really knew why. And I've been in Austin since 1986. I went to school at Texas. I've covered the program for 26 years. This summer, I learned that the school song's origin is from a minstrel show. And for those that don't know what a minstrel show is, it's mostly white people performing. It's a white performance show where they would often dress up in blackface. And it also has connotations to Robert E. Lee. And the words, "The Eyes of Texas are upon you," was something that Robert E. Lee used to say to students. "The eyes, I believe, of the South are upon you." That's not really the big issue as much as the minstrel show thing. So the players apparently have known about this for a long time. When the racial divisiveness that's kind of overtaken our country really heated up in June, I think what you found were a bunch of athletes at Texas, not just football players, who wanted to do something. They wanted to get involved. So we saw them march in June, and then a week later, and they marched in June with their head football coach and a lot of their white teammates. The next week, they put out a statement, mostly black athletes at Texas, mostly UT football players, basically saying that they want some change at the university, and among the change they wanted was the school song. Since then, all hell kind of broke loose. School, not knowing what to do, said, "Hey, can you give us a month?" Players said, "Yep, we won't go crazy. You got a month." The university came back and they created this diversity initiative package. It included investments of millions of dollars. They changed the name of the field to Ricky Williams and Earl Campbell Field. They did a lot. They pulled down statues. They changed the name of buildings. They did a lot. But when they did that, and when they proposed to their players, "Hey, this is what we have. Are y'all happy?" They said yes. But what they did not communicate to the players was, "Okay, we're doing all of this. You guys are going to stick around for the school song." That was never asked. Instead, the players were told, "You don't have to sing. You don't have to participate." So when the season started, nobody else talked to the players in between that meeting in July and the first game. Players didn't want to stick around. People got mad, but it was, they kind of pushed off as a one-game anomaly. The TCU game happens. Texas loses, they play the school song, and the team literally runs as fast as it can off the field. It's been a huge controversy. We go into the OU game, and the thought was that can't happen. And there's some details. I'm just trying to paint the picture. And then on Sunday, the game happens, and for the third time this season, 6 weeks into the season, there's another Eyes of Texas issue. This time, the entire team runs out. Now, there are people who will tell you it was an accident. They didn't know. There was no band. It just kind of happened. But it's kind of like being a peeping Tom. The first time you do it, it's like, "Hey, are you a peeping Tom? If you get caught a second and third time, there's no accidents. You're just a peeping Tom." So on third time, this week that this happens, it just blew up. There were pictures of Sam Ellinger by himself that went national, that went viral. The optics were awful. The fans, doesn't help that they're 2-2 and probably should be 1-3. The fans have just gone nuts. It has been 100-plus hours of the most rabid heat in the kitchen feeling that I've ever had in covering University of Texas football. We talk about the Red Banquet the night before Mack Brown got fired or replaced, however we want to phrase it, when it looked like he was going to stay and Nick Saban signed his extension at Alabama and Texas just collectively lost it. That is the single one night in the history of covering Texas athletics that stands the test of time as the angriest I've ever seen Texas fans. There's essentially been 5 Red Banquets this week. Every day, anger. And now we're in this weird spot because there's now the blame game has started. I wrote an article this week that put a lot of blame at the feet of Texas Athletic Director Chris Del Conte, specifically for not saying in the meeting in July, hey, we're negotiating. The negotiation is you guys get all of this. We have to, you know, we have to keep the optics of our school song strong. That just never happened. They just didn't say anything. And then there's been pushback from the athletic director's office since, weirdly, because I think they think that that Tom Herman put us up to it. I think the athletic director thinks that my column, my article, was a Tom Herman-driven initiative. It was not. I had 8 sources on that article, none from the football program. But I think they think it was. And I think they spent the next 36 hours making a concerted effort to point the finger at Tom Herman. Now, what do they have on Herman? The big thing, because Herman has been, the finger's been pointed at Del Conte because he just hasn't communicated to his coaches that the players have to stay. But it looks like that may have happened on last Thursday. So you can point the finger at Del Conte in a lot of respects because he was not communicated, I think, for much of this season, certainly throughout the entire summer. But there was a meeting last Thursday with the majority, if not all, of the Texas head coaches. And in that meeting, it was stated that all members of the coaching staff and support staff have to stay on the field. And we thought that was the main message of that meeting. It turns out a source at a different sport told us last night that also in that meeting, Del Conte expressed to the coaches that all the players have to stay on the field and they need to tell their players that. Well, multiple coaches across 3 different sports talked to Chip Brown from 24/7 yesterday and went on the record to say they also were told specifically players have to be on the field or on the court. They were given clear instructions. Our report that was expressed on Thursday, last Thursday, I guess 8 days ago, seems to be legitimized by our sourcing and the fact that Chip got some people to go on the record with their names. So the implication now, the elephant in the room, if you will, is that Tom Herman was given a directive 48 hours-ish before the Red River shootout, didn't tell his team that the expectations were to stay on the field, and then the team ran off the field after the game was over, leaving its star quarterback and captain alone on the field to create those optics. And now, for people who already were talking about having Tom Herman replaced at the end of the season, this has just added fuel to the fire. There are question marks about whether or not this would be grounds for a dismissal because in the last 2-3 weeks, Texas has lost so much money from alums and Texas has had a bunch of committed donations, but they haven't been collected yet. People are now pulling. We've heard that as much as $25 million has been lost for the South End Zone project that they've been working on in the last couple of weeks. That money's now been pulled. They may not have enough money right now to finish the South End Zone project in the middle of a pandemic at a time when all of this is happening. It's bad, Bill. It's just really bad.
It sounds like, and I never have thought that Herman could get fired. Number one, that's a lot of money. Texas got money. I know that. But still, in this environment, they're just not going to do it. Feels different now, doesn't it?
It does. Not because I legitimately think that when this thing's over with, they'll fire Herman with cause and try to pull a KU and keep the money. There's no way Texas would ever allow this to go to court where depositions take place and they would get embarrassed in a litany of areas.
Right.
But I'm telling you, it really Chris Del Conte was hired in part because he had a previous relationship with Tom Herman that was viewed as very strong, and it was viewed as, you know what, Tom Herman's the most important person in our athletic department amongst the coaches. We need an AD that can vibe with him. Those two guys have always vibed and gotten along. It feels like that's not the case now. I have to believe that Tom Herman has felt in the last couple of days this shift of blame move towards him, or the attempted shift of the blame. His athletic director, until Wednesday, has made really no public comment. So one of the big fears is that with basketball getting ready to roll around and coaches getting ready to do their media stuff, that Shaka Smart, who's already been on the hot seat, would be forced to answer the, and he still will, I guess, because technically, you know, Del Conte hasn't truly come out and answered questions and put this thing to bed in a way where it provides cover for his coaches. Herman goes out every week and does these press conferences, and it's possible that until last Thursday, he had not been told, you need to get your players to stay on the field. The only people that can really answer specific questions are Del Conte and Herman, and Del Conte's been just not around. And in his opening letter to Texas fans on Wednesday, where he kind of addressed this for the first time since July, he mentioned that his wife had vertigo for the last 6 weeks and that they've been taking care of her, which, you, my goodness, you'd hate to hear that anybody's spouse is dealing with anything. My wife has severe stomach issues, and we've been dealing that for that for the last 6 weeks. It felt like a weird excuse, quite frankly, to say that this aspect of his job, communication, couldn't be done at all because of the last 6 weeks when he's made time to travel to games and stuff. But it sounds like there's a real divide between Herman and Del Conte over this issue now. And I don't know how this works, because I've never worked and covered Texas where I've known that the head coach and the AD had a divide. What does that mean? How do they work together? How does Herman come back next season in 12 months when his boss may have been making, you know, chess moves behind the scenes to alleviate pressure on himself and point the finger at a guy he thought deserved the blame instead of him over this fiasco, this historic fiasco? And I think the only way, like, Herman and Del Conte to me would have to get into a room, I don't know, hey man, do you hate Orange Bloods? Yep. What about you? Do you hate Orange Bloods? Yep. Like, maybe there's some, like, commonality that they can eventually find. But as it is, it feels bad. And I don't know what's going to happen. I know Monday Tom Herman has a press conference. And in that press conference, he's been ducking questions for a long time. But the implication now that's out there in the universe that has been reported by multiple media outlets is that he defied his boss, who is now saying, I've been telling our coaches consistently all the time that these were the expectations. So Herman's got to, like, answer the question of, when were you told? Because if he actually was told 8 days ago, what it probably means, and again, this may not be fair to Herman. It may be that this is why he needs to answer questions. Because I think the direct implication is he would have been told on Thursday, and with the OU game coming up in less than 48 hours, on the surface it would appear that he would have been afraid to tell his players, because if they push back and say, well, we're not going to play, it would be a on-the-field disaster in the biggest game of the season. So my instincts, this is my opinion, is that it's possible that Herman was given the information last Thursday and was just like, we got to win. We got to win. This thing won't be a problem. But they didn't. They lost. Team runs off the field. Sam Ehlinger, who was doing post-game interviews. And it needs to be said, Sam did not stick around for the Eyes of Texas against TCU or at any other point this season. The entire team, including white players, including Sam Cosmi and Derek Kerstetter, and all, I mean, 95% of the team on Saturday ran into the locker room when the school song was played. 95% of the team did the exact same thing the week before against TCU. Again, if this was a one-shot, if this was a one-off, I think you could explain away some of these things. But they've consistently happened. And I don't know. We're at a fascinating time and place.
No, it is. Catch, I'm out of time, but just one note here. This Saturday is off, right? They're off. And then the Baylor game. So basically all we're going to be doing during the Baylor game is waiting for it to end to see what happens. Right? Well, no, is that where we're at right now?
That's true, yes.
Wow.
The bigger than the game itself is, okay, these players said I've been told they have to stay around.
Right.
Will any of them kneel? Will any of them put their fists in the air? Well, what they do being told to stick around is unknown. And, yes, it is the story of the Baylor game.
Oh, my gosh. Catch, appreciate you, man. Thank you very much.
Anytime.